Now, on the line we have Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst, and Alison Keating, psychologist, here to give you advice on your relationship woes. How are you doing, Ray?
Hi, Ray. All well, thank God.
Good, good. How are you doing, Alison?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good. Now, firstly, just let's do an overview of where we are as a nation with the lockdown and the pandemic. And we've discussed this before, but it is difficult when you can see the end, but you still have a bit of work to do, isn't it, Ray?
Well, yeah, that was the thing. Like, given where we are, there's a finishing line in sight. And this is the metaphor of the marathon runner, because my God, have we been in a long distance run this length of time. Is that idea that around the 20th or the 21st mile, when you're about 80% the way there, suddenly the mind collapses and the body follows. We're hitting that wall as a country because we can see life after COVID, but it's just not coming to us as quickly as we want. Mm. And I think it would be good for people and the government to bear that in mind, that exhaustion.
Yeah, and as you say, our reserves are at an all-time low, and that's a problem, isn't it?
It is, and this is where, again, you know, it's a tight balance, but it has to be balanced, that in terms of restriction, but also giving people, you know, some kind of relief or some kind of release that doesn't risk too much, but allows us to be more human.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, it's risky, and it's a very difficult thing. Like, you see what happened at Christmas.
Yeah.
We all know what happened after that. So it's very difficult. I think, and I say it in my head on loop, this will pass. We will get to the other side. And that keeps me going. But obviously that's not enough for everybody.
Well, there is, like, there is an end in sight. Mm. And that's where we have to draw our strength. And that's where we have to draw our comfort. And particularly for those people who are really lost, this will end.
Okay. And Alison, how are you with seeing the end but not getting to the end?
Well, like Ray's saying, I don't think the reserves are low. I think they're actually empty and we're kind of on fumes at the moment. So with that in mind and kind of recognising what needs to be done to get over that finish line, you definitely have to ask yourself, what can you do to kind of repair and rest? And something I've said to people is to try the deer challenge, where you drop everything and rest and do that every day. Now, that could be a cup of tea, Ray. It could be as small as that, but that you're building in some time. Because I just think, you know, for some people, it's been a very busy time, you know, with work and kind of the juggle of home and work. So I think people are very overstimulated and exhausted kind of physically and emotionally. So like Ray's saying, I think the importance of kind of recognizing we're not there yet, but kind of actively engaging in things such as rest to kind of help get us to where we need to be.
Okay, right. We will get there. We will get there. So these are some of the problems that came in for you, Ray and Alison. So we'll go to the first one. Dear Ray and Alison, I'm desperate. Oh, no, I'll do the second one first, actually. Dear Ray and Alison, my family make me feel like a freak because I don't have children. I'm 37. My husband and I are very happy together and we plan to stay exactly as we are. What upsets me is that my family, example, my brother and sister, seem to think I'm somehow anti-children. Recently, even my four-year-old niece asked, do you not like me? I found that distressing and unfair, as I've tried to be generous and loving. How do I counter this criticism? Alison.
So I think it's just recognising that the culture in Ireland is very family-based, but that doesn't mean that everybody has to follow that. And I think people can be quite obtrusive and intrusive about people's life choices, and especially in this situation when they're actually really happy and they're in a good place. And I think it's a real judgment, but often I think it's just a projection, you know. So maybe for the brother and the sister, I know this doesn't help the person who has kind of wrote into us, but what's going on for them that they actually feel that this person's life isn't complete without children? What's going on, you know, for them? So it's not that you can't counter the criticism, but definitely to acknowledge that when you hear from a little voice who's four, why don't you like me? That perhaps you're worried that they have heard this from the brother and sister. And that's what really helps. I would go back and say to them, I absolutely, you know how much I love my nieces and nephews. But this is a choice that we've made, and to put in some boundaries and some respect, that it's, I think it's a wonderful choice if you say, I don't want to have children. Because many people have children and perhaps it's not the right thing to do. They didn't actually want it, or it's not good for the children. So I think it's one of the most mature things that you can actually do if you know that you don't actually want to have children and you don't feel under pressure, to actually not bow down to that pressure.
Ray?
I think behind so much prejudice and intolerance is a huge envy, whether that's racism or homophobia or misogyny. And for this caller to be aware that behind her brother and sister's nastiness, because it is petty and nasty, is probably an envy that she's having a different kind of life, a different kind of relationship, and certainly a different set of freedoms to her, to the brother and sister in their couplings. So again, as Alison says, I would, you know, with the child, certainly reassure them. I don't know how much you're going to convince people that have taken on that level of prejudice, and I don't know how much I'd involve myself in trying to convince them.
It's an interesting thing, though, because I'm finding it increasingly in my life that if you try and understand people who are causing you problems and try and empathise with them, and it's not something you naturally do because they can be nasty to you, but if you try and do that, it makes it easier. And because you usually find, as you've just said there, that these people, there's something missing from their lives. Their problem is theirs, not yours.
Mm.
You know, you know that old thing about, you know, what people think about you is none of your business.
It can still hurt, though, doesn't it?
Yes, I know. But anyway, hope that works out, and good luck with it. Now, my partner's meanness is seriously beginning to affect our relationship. He's constantly moaning about lights being left on and the food I buy, and he's getting worse with age. If he's not looking on the internet for cheap deals, he's telling me how I can economise by buying cheaper clothes. I don't want to live like this, and it has gotten worse with the lockdown. I work 40 hours a week, so why shouldn't I have the occasional long hot soak in the bath or treat myself online to some nice clothes? How do I stop myself from losing it with him? Alison.
Look, I think we're so terrified of being angry sometimes, and anger is such a kind of functional emotion, and it's when we feel there's something wrong. I just think a conversation needs to be had here that, you know, there's a value here, a value difference, and meanness, if that's something that, you know, you find very difficult, it can be quite destructive within a relationship, because that sense of kind of anger can then turn into resentment if you're working very hard. Perhaps I think what's happening is that with kind of being in each other's company all the time, that perhaps the spending is more visible. So it's just a conversation.
Yes.
That needs to be had. And they may have to agree to disagree, as long as it's not, you know, she's saying she works 40 hours a week. So, you know, it's about valuing. And in terms of money, it's always about what the value is about, really. And it's about how you want to live your life. And there may just be differences here that perhaps you're seeing. But it can be a very unattractive trait, and can be quite destructive if you feel like, gosh, they're mean, not just financially, but even in spirit, that they don't kind of let me kind of buy within reason, you know.
Yes.
If you're not buying Gucci, but if you're buying a couple of things online, that it's kind of taking the joy
out of
you know, spontaneity, you know.
Yeah. Ray, what do you think?
Yeah, again, I think the three of us are of that generation where the, you know, leaving the immersion on was the seventh deadly sin. And so we kind of come from that culture, and I have no idea how old this particular person is. Frugal. And that frugality can so easily become meanness. And meanness is ugly. And so it's not just what's being budgeted here, but there's a certain ugliness in which the person writing is hearing from the partner, you don't deserve a long hot soak, or you don't deserve some nice clothes. And so for her to feed back to him, look, when you say these things to me, this is what I'm hearing, I think might shift what's happening for both of them.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? And I know in a lot of surveys that one of the top three things that couples fight over is money. And we come from, you know, you can end up with somebody that come from different backgrounds, and your attitude to money can be different. And that's, you know, that's, you have to work at that. It's a compromise. It's a difficult one. I'm sure it's a thing that's echoed around the country. People will be saying, oh, that's me.
With so, all the deliveries coming to the door, you know.
But it's interesting what you said at the outset, Alison, that people are more aware of their partner spending now. Because it is that You know, and
oh, that's
the,
it. Ding dong. Yeah,
and somebody has that excited look on their face, and next it's a big box from Amazon Prime or whatever. Yeah, but Amazon Prime. Yeah, okay. Well, right. So she needs to have the chat before it sort of explodes into anger.
Oh, yeah. That'll ripple quite dramatically.
Okay. Ray, thanks very much. Mind yourself. Alison, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye now. Bye,
thanks,
bye,
guys.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.